Well, thank you, Dave, for that was a very helpful sermon, and wonderful to look in those parts of the Bible which are just so relevant to us, aren't they, of how we live in these times and all times as Christians. And we're just going to talk about a few of the things from Dave's talk and how that impacts on our lives and how we might really examine ourselves as well. And first thing I'd like to ask, Dave, you talked about the commitment to seek God's kingdom. Do you have any further thoughts on what that looks like practically? How do we seek God's kingdom? What does that look like?
For me, it comes down to the moments. So it comes down to the prayer I pray before my feet hit the ground in the morning. Actually, Lord, might today my heart and my mind be attuned to what you're doing, and might I be thinking about opportunities not only to trust Jesus in my struggles, but to do good in the opportunities that I'm presented with. So it's a macro thing at the level of I pray a prayer at the beginning of the day, and I continue to pray that sort of prayer throughout. But it's also a micro thing where I'm keeping God's word, God's ways at the front of my mind. Now, of course, if I'm only checking in on with the Lord on Sundays or Sundays and Bible study or whatever, then naturally everything else moves to the front of my mind. So there is a part there where actually good habits of Bible reading and prayer keep God's word and God's ways towards the front of my mind, so that in those decisions, in those moments, his kingdom, his desires, his righteousness is quick to mind.
Yeah, that's very helpful. And I do think there's an extent where we often think about what we're investing things and where we're putting our time, where we're investing things. And I sometimes wonder if I look at my, even just in my bank account and what's gone on, does it look like I'm investing in God's kingdom? Are there things that look to me like God's kingdom stuff that some of my money is going into? And that's a very practical, in some ways a crass thing, but it's actually just a very real, if the kingdom matters to me in that sense, hopefully I'll be able to see that when I look at something like my bank account.
Which, of course, the danger is, I think people, I hear that others might hear it and go, oh, so that means either giving money to a missionary or to an explicitly Christian thing, which is good and right, and giving to church, absolutely. But also in my food budget, is there some hospitality? In my gift budget, is there some generosity towards others? In my coffee budget, is there taking somebody else out for coffee to speak with them? In my book budget, which is enormous, of course, is there giving books away? So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I think it's really helpful with numbers on the page, but thinking through it, kingdom lives in all those categories, doesn't it?
Well, let's keep thinking about money then. So, and move on to the challenge in your sermon, which was certainly a challenge I feel is a profound one. Do we love money? Is this our greatest love? And it's hard for us to work out. It's a bit how to be honest with ourselves on this, and how to examine ourselves. Do I love money, or am I just being responsible? Chris, maybe what do you think about that? How can we examine our hearts to be?
One thing that struck me actually as I was listening to what Dave was saying was when my first thought, the first thing when I hear the challenging words of Jesus or the challenging words of Paul about money, when my first thought is, but we still need to eat. Oh, but we still need to pay the rent or the mortgage. We still need to buy the kids' clothes. When my first thought is that, I'm a little bit worried that I'm protecting something because we often protect the things we love from any challenge. So when my first thing that I jump to is but, then I'm just worried then. I'm just going to be wanting to examine myself before the Lord and asking the Lord to show me whether really my love for money is a little bit too strong because I'm trying to protect it from the words of Jesus at that point.
So let me jump in there and push a little bit. Let's say that we've taken your advice, which I think is excellent advice, Chris, and we've hit pause on our butts. We've given ourselves some space. What does love of money actually look like? How can we identify it in our lives? What do you reckon, guys?
I wonder if we should be thinking about what impact it has on our kind of general life around other people, how we treat others in our workplace, in our household. If we're serving this master of money, that will change our expectations and our requirements from other people. And they'll be kind of co-slaves and co-servants with us. And we'll be expecting them to serve that greater purpose. And that will then lead to grumpiness and resentment and bitterness. Or they may feel that we're expecting too much of them and they're feeling quite stressed out or a little bit burdened by that. So it might be a question we need to, when we're asking ourselves, we also, it's a fearful question to ask, but to ask other people that, who are close to us, do you think I love money?
One of the things that shows what you love and where you kind of have your trust is where your mind goes and where you seek that security. Where your mind goes when you've got a quiet moment, or when you're worried, where you go to seek security. And there can be a danger that whenever I go whenever I'm worried about something, or whenever I'm feeling insecure, that I might go to my bank account webpage and just check the numbers there. Now, if that's happening too much, again, maybe that's showing that my love of money is there. And maybe at that point, a very practical thing to do is say, I'm going to pray instead. I want to go do that. I'm gonna pray to the Lord who cares for me and who provides. And that might help me to reorient the way I'm thinking, reorient my loves.
There's a sense, isn't there, where you, if you love something, you're willing to sacrifice for it. And so wondering what are you sacrificing for financial security and for money and for assets and that sort of thing? What are you not giving time or effort or energy to in order to do that? So, you know, the classic might be, I will put in the overtime and sacrifice time with the family, or sacrifice time with my fellowship group, or whatever it might be, because I must continue a level of work and a level of income to be able to do that. I think there's also a sense, isn't it, that love, not only what do we sacrifice for it, but what brings us joy, what sparks joy in us. And if the thought of money, of all that money can give us, when I reach this level, I will get the holiday house, the boat, the new whatever. If that is the thing which excites you and delights you and puts a spring in your step and drives you, well, to me, that would be a pretty clear indication that that money is a very, very large love in your life, particularly if in comparison with helping others or sacrificing or being with the Lord and his people, if that is significantly less sparking of joy in your life, I think there'd be some real questions you'd want to, that they might be really good indicators that your loves are a bit off.
Yes, that's helpful in terms of if you love something, you'll make sacrifices for it, but also not sacrifice that thing that you love. And so another indicator for you might be, are you being generous? Am I sacrificing the money I have? Am I giving it away to others? Am I taking that risk of not having something that I think I need so that I might bless other people and trust in the Lord who provides? That leads us into thinking about our worries. And as we heard, what a great truth it was to hear, God knows us, God loves us, yeah, and he knows what we need, and he values us more than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And that's wonderful for us to hear and apply to ourselves. Is it perhaps a little bit more difficult? Do we still end up worrying for others? What do you guys think about that?
I think one thing that I've come across a bit in the last few weeks is particularly older people who have adult children have been rightly and understandably worried for their children when their livelihood's in danger. And it's one thing to say, as you say, David, I think I'll be okay. But another thing, if my son might lose his job or my daughter's family might be in financial trouble, that's a very difficult thing. But at that point, it is vital to remember that just as God loves the Kiwis, whether or not they have KiwiSaver, and the Moorpooks, with or without their mortgages, so God loves far, far, far more our adult children as well, if we have them. And we've just got to remind ourselves of them. And again, something that Dave said a little while ago about, if I have my first thought when someone is, I'm worried about, is my first thought, I need to entrust them to the Lord. I need to pray to the Lord who provides for them. That's the thing. That's the thing we want to be doing.
Chris, I think that's so helpful. The thing that strikes me that we often worry about others, particularly children and those that we love and are close to, because in that we feel incredibly powerless. And I think that's part of the difference, that when it's our situation, we feel like we're in control. And yet I am struck that there are some times that we are out of control and we are in desperate need. And very often in a church family, because our natural tendency is towards pride and money is so personal, that we don't ask. And yet the church community is definitely a place. It's a place where we love and care for each other, where we're honest and real with each other, where we share each other's burdens, and where I think 99% of people in the church would be desperate to serve and care for their brothers and sisters if they knew how to. And it is an act of grace, which is odd to say this, but it is an act of grace to be able to put our hands up and say, actually, I'm really struggling financially. Is there some help that might be available? Now, wonderfully at Trinity, we've had money given, which is it can be used once we know how it is best to be used. But there is a sense we absolutely pray for those in need. But I wonder if we also, there is a responsibility on us at times to put our hands up and say, I am in need. And if we are all loving God and serving him with all that we have, then it removes any risk of really coming across as greedy or wanting, because we know, we trust each other that we're being generous with whatever we have.
Shall I pray now as we close our discussion and entrust our time to him? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much that for what we have seen and what we have heard, that you are good, you do provide. We ask that you might help us to trust in you. We ask that you might continue to work in us by your Holy Spirit to examine ourselves and to work through these difficult things that we've just been discussing. Please help us to be honest with ourselves and with those around us. Please help us to humble ourselves and to repent where we need to. And please raise our eyes to see Jesus Christ, our great glory, our wonderful Saviour, and may we find true satisfaction and contentment in him. May we find life in him as we seek him, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.